Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Where is it? Call Big Boy Tuesday because Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal joins us every single Tuesday to break down last week's games and all things Patriots and NFL. He's on the large side, so it's Big Boy Tuesday. What's up, Greg? You there?
What's up, fellas?
Hey! What's going on, man? So let's start with a note that you put in our email chain this morning that caught my eye, and you like the Patriots in this matchup against the Bills.
I didn't say that. I just
go ahead.
I did say it's a get well week.
Thank you.
But I meant possibly a get well week.
Could be a get worse.
I'm not putting any money.
That is a fence take.
It's called get well and lose. That's what it's called this week.
Look, if the Patriots are going to turn it around, this is a good week for them. And the reason is the three-game losing streak, a part of it, I think, has been they've gone against unfamiliar foes, and help matters. Now they're getting back to the AFC East. They're going against the Buffalo Bills team that they know really well, from Sean McDermott loses his mind every time he sees Belichick on the other sideline. To Josh Allen, they know exactly who he is, what he can and can't do. And the other thing is that Cam Newton knows Sean McDermott as well as anybody. He went against his scheme for 6 years when he was the defensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. So if there was, and the Bills cannot stop the run at all. So if there was any week for the Patriots to turn things around, this is it.
I'll tell you what, Maz, if the Bills can't take care of business this time around.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God. Aren't you looking forward to it in some way?
Well, so.
Like, you freaking losers. The Patriots could not be any more vulnerable. You could not have them right where you need them. They could not suck any worse. They could not be any bigger of a mess. You could not have drawn it up any worse for the New England Patriots for this game against the Bills that have been gunning, you know, for you for 20 years, never mind just the last couple where it feels like they've closed the gap. Now, here they are, 2.5 games ahead of you, and the Patriots are a mess, and they have no quarterback, and you're going to lose. Like, I'm no one to laugh on it, but, I'm going to laugh my ass off if Buffalo can't take care of business this week.
I mean, if you can't beat him now, you'll never beat him. Like, really, how much more do you want? You know, and the other thing is not that this matters either, but it's in their place, right? This game is, I paid less attention to that this year. It's in Buffalo, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, Greg, of all the things that you listed, the only one that really means anything to me is the running game thing. Because I think that, I think the Patriots have gotten away a little bit from who they're supposed to be or what their strength is, which is running the football. And I would say that with Newton as much as anyone. So the fact that Buffalo can't stop the run, to me, does play into the Patriots' favor, I would hope. I would expect this will be a running game plan. Is that what you envision?
Yes, absolutely. And look, I think we can all agree that the Patriots' path to victory has become pretty clear. And I think Kyle Shanahan kind of shoved it in Belichick's face. I mean, we know that the Patriots have to run the ball. They have to play with a lead, and basically they need to do whatever they can to funnel the opposing offense to throw the ball into their secondary, whether that's scoreboard, number of guys in the box, what have you, hopefully get some turnovers, extra possessions for the offense, better field position, all that stuff, because we know they aren't explosive at all. It's not like they're going to rip off a 60-yard scoring play. They can't go 80 yards every time. There's too many grenades that go off in this offense right now. And so I think that the Bills give the Patriots a good opportunity to do that. And it starts with, yes, the running game. I mean, I don't know if they've gotten away from it. I thought they ran the ball well decently to start the game against San Francisco. They just, you know, a grenade would go off. Cam Newton, every time he went back to pass, he didn't know what to do. And the first half was one of the most, it was one of the worst first halves of quarterbacking I've seen in the NFL. It was marginally better in the second half. That's why I was a little bit encouraged that they were able to string plays along in the second half. So there was something to build off of, yet there were still landmines that went off to short circuit, all that stuff too.
What's Newton's problem?
He's completely lost. He has no confidence. He doesn't know what he's looking at. He's not taking, I can only assume that Josh McDaniels and Jed Fish are coaching him during practice on film. Hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to dial things back. When you drop back to pass, you're going to look at this, and this is where you need to go with the ball. And then all of a sudden, he's getting into the games, and it's just not adding up. And what was even more disturbing about this game against the 49ers was that this was the same scheme that he tore up against Seattle. It's a zone-based scheme. If he can't complete throws and keep drives alive against that kind of scheme, what's he going to do against the better defenses in this league? But I think, look, he's a guy that's just lost. I think it was a rhythm thing with his during the COVID. Like, they were building him. They built him up brick by brick from the start of training camp through the first two games. They were slowly building him up. Something changed then. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just the lack of practice time. But whatever it is, he's back at zero. And they have to figure out how to build him up now on the fly.
So that has me completely mystified. You know, and particularly when you say the San Francisco scheme is basically the same one that Seattle runs. Yeah. He didn't look indecisive or, you know, and that's not even the right word. He didn't look completely clueless and lost in the second game of the year. How is it that a guy can go, a 10-year veteran now, not a rookie, how is it that a guy can go from that to looking like he's never played the position before?
He's just gripping the wheel too tight. He's second-guessing himself on everything. He's not seeing things clearly. I mean, this is what we sort of talked about in the wake of the Raiders game, because it started there, because we talked about it. Cam did not see, and I remember us having the conversation, that Cam did not see the field well in that game. I don't know why. Something is amiss. They need to figure out how to get him back, and it's going to have to be, you know, very slow. They're going to have to figure out, you know, yes, they have to run the ball, but they need more screens. Josh McDaniels needs to take James White and shove him in Cam's face, well, socially distanced, and say, look, if you don't have your first or second read, throw it to this guy. He's the best in the league. You need to reintroduce yourself to James White, because what's going on there now is just, it's not acceptable.
So I would say White and Edelman. This is just something that I came to overnight watching clips on your site, Greg, Boston Sports Journal, and your analysis, and our Monday night show on NBC Sports Boston. Just looking at some of the clips. Edelman was there for little dump offs if they were thrown quickly and in rhythm. One play that you mentioned, Greg, and you don't really mention the Edelman part of it, but the play where Newton drew the 15-yard roughing the passer, which was a really weak call. He airmailed Bird, you know, on a flag pretty badly, and he certainly had Bird wide open, and that should have been a easy play. He had Edelman wide open in the flat for a little dump off that he doesn't even look at, and it's like, you know, the interception. Edelman was uncovered for the first, I don't know, two or three counts of that play. And the reason it got picked is because Newton was late and behind him and threw it a million miles an hour. But if he had just had it in his mind to go to Edelman right out of the chute, it was a 2nd and 7, that Edelman interception play. Just a possession play. You probably would have gotten the 7 with him right there. But either way, it's an easy completion and you're right there. The linebackers let Edelman go. They didn't even cover him to begin that play. And Newton's not even thinking that way. He's not even thinking about moving the chains, White, Edelman, take what's there. It's like he has no idea how to run the offense.
See, this is the part that worries me. Go ahead, Greg. See,
now, this goes to show, and there's that play, and there's also the counter to this, the interception before, the deep interception that he threw.
Yeah.
That's a play that's designed. It's a cover 3 beater, which they're playing. It's designed, you have a post going above, you're targeting the safety in the middle of the field. There's a post above, there's a crosser underneath, and you basically read the middle of the field safety. If he goes with the deep, the in cut should be open across the middle of the field, but Cam throws it about a second and a half too early. Like, he's completely disconnected from the plays, no matter what they call right now. And one thing that just came to mind is, Burt Breer did a great story when Cam was in Carolina with Norv Turner, and they talked about how Cam is a visual learner. I think that when he was outside the facility in quarantine, learning remotely, I think really hurt Cam. Cam's the type of guy that needs to be hands-on. He needs to see it on the field to apply it on the game day, and right now he's not getting that, and he is completely disconnected from the playbook in terms of where to look, the timing, all that stuff. It's just it's completely discombobulated right now, and they need to figure out how to crawl before they can walk with him.
Okay, folks, we'll take your thoughts on all of this. 617-779-0985. Bedard thinks this is a get-well week, but you're still not picking the Patriots.
No, not yet. I mean, I have to look at some more things, but no, I have little faith that the Patriots are going to do anything correctly. I mean, especially after Belichick and his defense just got completely pantsed by Kyle Shanahan on Sunday. I don't even have faith in the defense right now if the opponent is willing to do what Kyle Shanahan did the other day. And so, no, I don't have any faith that they're going to win, but if there was any opportunity for them to do it, this is the week.
Apparently, get well to Greg means less sickening. It's not healthy. It just means you suck less. Yeah. That's apparently
who in their right mind, other than Pat the Patriot, is going to say that the Patriots are going to go to Buffalo and win this week? I mean, look, do I think they can do it? Yeah, possibly. Do I know that they can? Hell no.
Well, no, I mean, it's like, how can you be confident?
You can't. You
know, so you can't. I mean, I think they can win.
They don't do anything well right now, Mike. They don't do anything well.
I know. So, like, I'm not confident in it. But
right.
It's not going to surprise me one bit.
Of course.
If the Pats just go up there and straighten it out a little bit, and the Bills are totally not up to the moment.
Yep. Like, I mean, that's... Josh Allen vomits on himself.
Yes. Yep. You know, are the Bills ready to take over? It's right here for you. It can't be any easier. It couldn't be any more laid out in front of you. The Patriots have no quarterback and no quarterback play, and they're a freaking mess, and it feels like they're starting to give up out on the football field. You're 2.5 games up. I know you have no crowd, but you are home. I mean, this should be a layup. It should be a clean passing of the guard. It's our division and nothing to see here.
I mean, no matter where they play this game, Buffalo should win it.
Who do you have less faith in, the Patriots or the Bills?
Cam Newton.
It's close. I mean, all I'm saying is I have no faith that the Patriots are going to get right either. But
I don't have any faith in Newton right now. That's the issue for me.
Big picture, Bills. Sorry, I don't. It would be so you. Oh, it'd be so you. It would be so you to cough this game up.
Oh no, this is this. So we're right back to sucking less.
Yes,
is really what. Whoever sucks less will win this game.
Let's start with that, shall we? Let's try and just suck a little less. Your thoughts with Greg Bedard right after this.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The
Sports Hub.
All right, that was our computer's shutting down. That was supposed to be a cut of Bill Belichick today, being asked if he thought Cam Newton's slump here coincided with his COVID diagnosis. And Bill said, nope, if there was anything wrong with him, we would have put him on the injury report.
Ha!
Okay, which is laughable. And then he said he hasn't, as far as he knows, experienced any symptoms, which, again, I'm dubious of. But either way, that's how Bill Belichick answered that question. If there was something wrong with him, it would have been on the injury report, and he suffered no symptoms. So that was just Cam Newton on the COVID question, or Belichick on the Newton COVID question. Greg, before we go to the calls, any thoughts on Newton's health? Is there any factor there with him?
I don't see any indication of anything wrong with him on the film. I thought he snapped the ball off fine. Nothing with his shoulder, nothing with his foot. I don't believe this COVID fog stuff. People looking for excuses. Sometimes a guy just sucks. And right now he sucks, and they need to find their way out of it.
I'm good with that. That's what I think it is. This idea that it's like, you know, he's in some sort of fog. What fog? What fog? This guy looks like a guy who's never played the sport before. That's what he looks like right now. He looks like he's never played in the league. He looks like Eddie Etling.
Okay, Danny, your thoughts, as promised. Here's Mike and Ashwood to lead us off. What do you got, Mike?
Yeah, you guys kind of stole my thunder a little bit. I think he's sick. I mean, COVID is supposed to be this really nasty, you know, they say he's asymptomatic, but he looked like he was not feeling well, like he was run down. I don't know.
Okay.
Call it what you will.
Sure, Mike. I don't want to give him the excuse. I just think he's sucking. However, I will say this. I think it's in the team's interest to tell us that he's asymptomatic, because there's a whole different set of protocols if you're symptomatic or asymptomatic.
Of course.
So just say you're asymptomatic, right? Like, that's an easy little fudge that I bet they're all doing. You know, everyone said, oh, by the way, everyone says, yeah, I didn't feel a thing. You know, from the president on down, never felt better. Like everyone sort of just does that as a default, so, which is, okay, that's one. But two, there's actual practical implications to saying you're asymptomatic versus symptomatic. So I don't believe the and this isn't to brag on them or anything, but I just don't believe them when they say he's asymptomatic. There's all the reasons in the world for them to do that, okay? And there's also this little stupid vegan thing about immune systems and whatnot that's just crawled into my head. And, I mean, I don't want to say that he's delirious because of COVID or he's, like, hallucinating out there. I mean, it kind of looks that way. I just don't want to completely take it off the table because – I know, Greg, the problems really started with the Raiders game, which was pre-COVID, but yeah. I don't know. It's just hard not to draw that line. He looks like, as Matt said, like he's never played the position. Let me ask you, are there some plays to be made out there? I mentioned in the first block how I've seen White and Edelman, if the ball's out in time, for those guys to make their little possession plays that turn into chunk plays, and Newton just can't get him the ball quickly enough. Are there other things down the field that are there if Newton can see it?
Of course, I'm not sure right now exactly what play it was, but there have been a couple of, you know, the Patriots. You could tell that Josh McDaniels is going back to base Patriots plays, which they run in every game anyways. It doesn't matter, you know, who's a quarterback, but you know, they're bang action, play action. All right, hit the guy on the quick, you know, slant or curl. He's not throwing that. There was another one where N'Keal Harry was wide open in the seam and he doesn't throw that. Like, he's just it's not like he's not completely seeing the play. He's seeing the play, but he's just not pulling the trigger for whatever reason. For that reason, I think he's gripping the stick a little bit too tight at this point, and I think that's all it is. And I do think, you know, the COVID thing, I do think, is just an excuse, and people are looking for excuses. His development just got interrupted, severely interrupted, for a guy who couldn't afford it. He didn't have enough time in any event getting acclimated to this offense and the people around him. And they were making progress, and then all of a sudden it halts for 3 weeks. Like, you're going to look pretty rusty and not have a full week of practice when you come back. That's going to happen. We'll see where he is this week. It should be better. I thought that it was better in the second half against the 49ers, and that's something to build off.
Okay, here's Carl on the Cape. Go ahead, Carl.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
You know, look, this is a catastrophe at this point. Okay, and I'm just going to say it because it is what it is here. They essentially didn't give Brady $25 million a year so they could keep the likes of Gilmore, Tooney, and McCourty. Two out of those three guys will probably be gone in 2 weeks. Okay? That's a mess.
So that's not true. I mean,
on the face.
So look, it's a mess. But don't play that game about they wanted to keep those other guys and or Brady. They could have kept them all. They easily could have kept them all. So don't let them or anyone else tell you that. They could have kept them all without any problem. They didn't want to give Brady another contract. No matter what else was on the roster or what the money was elsewhere, they didn't want to give him a contract. That you can second guess him for. Don't let him get away with that, that you couldn't fit them all. That's just ridiculous.
I also think he's got it backwards. I think that part of the reason some of those guys are here is because Brady is gone. Like the McCourty thing. I think it felt to me like McCourty was ready to walk. Like they were ready to hang it up. And I think Bill went to him and said, not only will I bring you back, I'll give your brother $5 million and you can both come back.
Well, I mean, they may have spent some of the money they were going to give him, but they could have done it all.
Of course they could have.
It's Brady in a vacuum. It's Brady in a vacuum. What, Greg, are they in trouble at the quarterback position? And do you second guess the way they managed the whole thing, the whole transition these last couple of years?
No, sure. I mean, I think that how do you go from having three NFL starting caliber quarterbacks in Brady, Garoppolo, and Brissett to having none or at least taking the last guy available just a couple years later? How does that even happen?
Mind-numbing.
And so I just believe that, you know, from everyone I've talked to, you know, over the years, that I think Bill wanted to move on from Brady after, I think it was 2017. I think he wanted to move on, and that's when Kraft stepped in and basically navigated the Garoppolo trade. I don't think Brady wanted the trade necessarily. He just wanted his contract extension. He wanted his respect. And when Bill didn't give it to him, Kraft decided to get Brady his loyalty and respect by removing his replacement. And then that sort of just screwed Belichick. I think that Bill was going to go, and I said this at the time, I thought Bill was going to go to the end of the year and then make a decision. He was probably leaning towards Garoppolo, but Brady could have changed his mind, and then everything got blown up. I mean, that Jacoby Brissett was sent out and leaving you with nothing was, to me, one of the biggest indicators that something got screwed up. Some sort of planning got screwed up, that they went from three to none.
And got what out of it?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Got a second round pick that has been blown into 4 million pieces of shrapnel that you don't even know who came from it.
We are going to look at this.
You guys talked about Garoppolo a lot last week in terms of, oh, do you think they would be better off with Garoppolo in this and that? What about just Jacoby Brissett?
Right.
Don't you think this team would be much better if Jacoby Brissett was kept here and just ascended to the starting role?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they'd be championship, and you could say the same thing about Garoppolo, right?
Right.
The jury's out, but 4 or 5 years in the system by this point with Jacoby Brissett, who does have some NFL qualities, of course they'd be in better shape.
They'd be better than they are now. And again, years from now, we are going to look at this thing and we are going to say, wait a minute. In a span of 2 years, they lost Brady, Garoppolo, and Brissett and got a second round pick, a compensatory pick, and Philip Dorsett for it. That's what they got. We're going to look at that and say it's one of the most egregious examples of bad roster management in the history of sports, not the NFL, the history of sports.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it out there. Randy in Medford. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you? Full disclosure, I just think Cam Newton sucks. I just think he can't play anymore. But I have read that, again, it's not an excuse, but I have read that, you know, one of the after effects of COVID is something that has to do with your memory. I don't think that's it, but that is an after effect. I just think he sucks.
Okay, right? He is sucking. And he's playing like, let's just put it to you like this, whether he's got COVID after effects or what, he's playing like it. He's playing like he's never played quarterback before. So
I hate that this excuse is now starting to take hold.
Yep.
Go ahead, Murray.
Hey, it's just, so he's got foggy brain now. So that's why. And what could we do? It's a failed season. Let's put an asterisk on it because of COVID, because Cam's not right because he caught COVID. Again, he was not good before the positive diagnosis against Vegas. He wasn't. This was trending poorly before he got tested. Before he tested positive,
I don't like the way the offense is being run now. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about the play calling. I'm talking about, you know, They early in the year, it was really simple, really simple. Read options, you know, simple passes off the read option. That's it. I don't think this guy can process it. I don't think he can. And I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying I don't think he was never a fit here to begin with, and it doesn't feel like he's a fit now.
Three up, three down with Bedard right after Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilder and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Now it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run them on a slant. With his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, we've gone over the film, compiled all our notes and charts, or at least Greg has. Mez and I have just watched it from our couch. But we'll chime in as we give you the three stars, three studs, three duds from Sunday against San Francisco. It's brought to you, three up, three down, by Massachusetts General Hospital. Mass General reminds you not to delay important preventive screenings or follow-up care during COVID-19. For more information on in-person and virtual appointments, visit massgeneral.org. You ready, big boy?
I'm ready.
Number one star, give it to me.
Jacoby Myers. I think that the kid, look, he looks like he's a junior at Foxborough High down the street, so sometimes I think even the coaches underestimate him. But every time he's on the field and he gets an opportunity, the kid can play. He's quick. He gets open. He catches the ball. He's tough. He's got compete, which looks like it's in a little bit of a short supply down there at one Patriot place. So play him. Maybe this N'Keal Harry injury gives him an opportunity to get more playing time. He needs to play more.
Here, here. I'm with you. Preach it.
Would you call him effing Jacoby Foxborough? Is that what you'd call him, Greg? Would you call him that? I also had him number one, which is pathetic. Like that we both, you know, there weren't many choices. He was first.
Number two.
Derek Rivers. I thought that he was outstanding on the edge, one of the few guys who actually decided to defend the run in this game for the Patriots. And I think he might be playing himself into a starting and more visible role for this team because other guys are coming up woefully short. Looking at you, Mr. Golden Locks, Chase Winovich.
Damian Harris was number two for me. And look, there wasn't a ton there, but if I told you, do you know he averaged almost 6 yards a carry? 10 carries, 58 yards. And after intermission, he ran hard. I think he always runs hard, but he was really running hard after intermission. I went with him.
Third star.
Damian Harris. I think that he, with every carry, with every ounce of playing time that he has, he gets better. He looks fast. He looks explosive. I think he is on the verge maybe this week against Buffalo in their weak running defense, but his Taylor Price Memorial breakout game is coming very soon, I hope.
Nick freaking Folk.
All right, let's just leave it at that. Three duds. Who was the number one dud for the Patriots there, Greg?
Cam Newton. I mean, look, he's the quarterback. He played an awful half of football. And by the way, when we were in break, I went back to look at what I wrote about in the Raiders game, and everybody thinks this is all foreign. A lot of these same issues that we're talking about, I wrote about in the Raiders game Whenever you have a minute, whether it's now or later, we can talk about a little bit more, including, do you remember that interception that he threw in that
game? Yeah, horrendous.
I called it, quote, this is one of the worst QB plays I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so and there were multiple examples of guys being open and him not throwing it or making poor decisions. This was going on before all this. It's gotten exposed even more.
Remember a couple of weeks ago, you asked the worst Patriot quarterback you've ever seen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I told you Tommy Hodson. I think that's the name I gave you. This game on Sunday, I had Newton number one also. Okay, I'm just piling on with Greg here. It's an easy number one. Newton sucked so bad in this game. Might have been the worst quarterback game I've ever seen, period. I'm not joking. It was horrendous.
Number two, Greg.
Juwan Bentley. Speaking of worst games, this might be the worst middle linebacker game I've seen out of a Patriots player. So when you have the quarterback on offense and the quarterback on defense playing absolutely terrible football, yeah, you're going to get blown out at home, which is what happened. I had him for 10 minus plays, and I had Mr. Number 3 coming up also for a bunch. It was terrible. Bentley was completely lost in this game. I don't know what they do at linebacker. Shanahan looked like he targeted the linebackers in this game and just exposed them to the rest of the NFL.
Juwan Bentley. I'm laughing because, again, it was so obvious who the bad players were on the field in this game. Who needs the film? Yeah, watching in real time with these suck bags. Holy crap, he was awful.
3.
Anthony Jennings. 8 minus plays. He was completely lost too.
Wow.
Gerard Mayo, you could see him after some plays, like looking at Jennings like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Like not getting outside leverage and forcing plays back, going underneath blockers instead of over the top. It was bad. And like I said, it looked like Shanahan. The reason that the 49ers were so effective in this game is because the rest of the teams that the Patriots play, like when the Patriots say, okay, well, we want you to throw the ball, so we're going to put people in the box. Even if it's the Lollipop Guild with Adrian Phillips and Terrence Brooks and all these small guys. So everybody's like, oh, well, there's too many in the box, so we have to throw. Kyle Shanahan said, those guys can't defend the run at all, so I'm going to keep running outside, inside, and that's what they did. And so you don't have to throw against the Patriots. You can just run because they can't defend it.
So I went with Stephon Gilmore 3rd. And look, I admit, I'm picking on Gilmore this year. I think something about him I don't like this year. I thought he was lousy in this game.
Greg, give me an overall grade for the defense.
Overall grade?
Yeah.
I can just tell you just by the groups, 1.5 for the defensive line, a 0 for the linebackers, and a 1 for the secondary.
Jesus. That's out of 5, obviously.
They were awful.
So what
awful.
Happened here? What'd you see?
Shanahan just exposed. I mean, basically what Bill Belichick does to everybody else, which is he puts a mirror up to you in a harsh light and shows you all of your flaws when you play them, when he's going at his best and when he has a good team. Shanahan did the exact same thing to the Patriots. I mean, he absolutely pantsed Belichick and his defense and exposed how poor their personnel is on defense. As long as you don't throw into their secondary, you can live all day doing whatever. You can dink and dunk. You can run. You can do whatever you need to. Just don't throw into their secondary. Don't get in a long yardage, and the Patriots can't do anything about it.
And when you do throw into their secondary, you think Maz is right to get on Stephon Gilmore. Why?
I agree. I think that, in years past, I thought his focus has waned. This year is even more. He looks on the verge of being checked out.
Yeah,
and I think this started in the offseason with the contract stuff. I think he realizes where he is. I think he's, 30, going to be 31. He realizes the time for him to get a contract extension are running very short to get his last big money extension. And, I don't think he's all that interested right now.
Disinterested. Totally. Now, look, the Kansas City game this year, I thought he showed up for. Okay, but otherwise, I think he's been, average at best all year. And you know what play really bugged me in this game with him? Do you remember the cut block that Youssef
threw?
Gilmore went flying through the air. Like, it just looked to me like...
He also ran himself out of the play before he even got blocked.
Well, so this is what I'm saying is he's flying through the air. He's nowhere near it. Like, the whole thing, I just looked at it. Did you really want to make that tackle? You're just screwing around out there.
Break down and take on the block.
Exactly.
No, instead, he was going to run past the run. He was going to run past whoever that was anyway. Was that an end around or was that Wilson? I can't remember. But he was going to run himself out of the play anyway.
I just, watching that play, I said, this guy doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's out there slapping it out there. He doesn't want to play.
So, here's what stands out again, just as you talk about the personnel, all the way around, but on defense as well, and as it relates to the draft, no freaking impact. We're now in week six, whatever this is. Kyle Duggar, not out there. Uche, not out there. Jennings, blows.
Eight minus plays.
Okay. Asiasi, not out there. Keen, out there, one catch. Draft before, N'Keal Harry, not out there, basically. Joe Juwan Williams, only special team snaps. Do I have that right? He didn't play on defense, did he?
Correct.
Okay, I'm just looking at the playtime percentage in the game book. He did not. So here we are, year two for Joe Juwan Williams, no snaps on defense. Chase Winovich, non-factor, Greg. What's going on with him?
He made some... mistakes, I think, in the Kansas City game. They've lost faith in him as an every down guy right now. So right now he is solely a situational pass rusher. Felger, one thing I wanted to mention, that 16-yard touchdown run that the 49ers had, that was one of the most embarrassing defensive plays I've ever seen. It was an off-tackle run, 16 yards, and the guy went untouched for a touchdown. That's unheard of.
But it's like, we talk so much about this in the drafts and everything. It's just, you go down the top of the last two drafts, Duggar, Uche, Jennings, Asiasi, first four picks this year, 0-0-0-0, nothing. The first four picks or so from 2019, N'Keal Harry, nothing. Joe Juwan Williams, nothing. Chase Winovich playing his way out of a role. Damian Harris, congratulations. Okay, like that's it. Then nothing there.
No, right, and you didn't even mention Sony Michel.
Oh, I don't. I mean, I could go back another year if you want. Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel, Duke Dawson, Bentley, Christian. Just nothing there. Like Jesus, God, that stands out when you play that game. All right, back to your phones with Greg Bedard right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. Helplinema.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Promise back to your phones here with the big boy, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. Let's hear from our friend Tony in Stoneham. Hi, Tony.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I missed you yesterday because I didn't realize you had a rule. You can only call one show on the station.
Well, I mean, I heard John Beadle and Zoe, and you can't call us an hour later. We got to let other people in, Tony.
I know. Anyway, look, here's reality. Reality is Belichick had one winning season with Cleveland. With Brady, he was world beater. Brady goes to a team that was 7-9 last year, on his way to a Super Bowl, and Belichick is going back to what he was with Cleveland. You know, I don't care. You take producers, directors, whatever. They get Academy Awards because of the player, the actor, not because of them.
Okay, Tony. Well, that's certainly the way it looks. You know, the headline, Greg Bedard. Tom Brady making Bill Belichick look foolish. How do you feel about a headline like that?
It's too early. I'm not ready to say anything about anything yet. I mean, look, I'm supposed to get... So 3 weeks ago, Tom Brady and Bruce Arians are bumbling idiots. And now suddenly two weeks later, after playing two of the worst defenses in the league, and with their defense giving up 15 points a game, suddenly Tom Brady's the greatest thing ever and Bruce Arians is really smart. Nah, I'm waiting until the end of the season.
Okay, I'm with you. But
wait a minute. How about we have a show to do every day?
Well, no. But right now, that's the way it looks. Right now, I'll give that to you. 2 weeks ago, it looked the opposite. And Murray, we reflected it. And I'm willing to give that verdict.
Murray, you can overreact all you want. I'm just not going to because I think it's a load of crap.
You can
do whatever you want every week and say Brady's great because you want to. But just because they tore through, the Packers stink. The Raiders are god-awful. Two of the worst defenses in the league. And Brady puts up numbers. Big freaking deal. Who cares? So what? The Patriots have had a harder schedule.
Greg, you don't have to yell at me. I wasn't yelling at you. I was actually yelling at Mike because Mike doesn't get to say, well, I'm waiting too. Because you're always yelling at everybody else, Mike, saying we have a show to do every day.
Absolutely. So. Today, Bill Belichick looks stupid. Today, Tom Brady is embarrassing Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have no problem with the headline.
No problem, me neither. I liked it. I brought it up yesterday. I read it yesterday. Yeah,
I think it's right. Right now he is. He's making him look like a jackass.
I'm also going to point out that 2 weeks ago it was flipped. 2 weeks ago, Brady couldn't count to four downs, and Bill Belichick was making chicken salad out of chicken crap. So let's just let that applies.
Okay, but here's what worries me about it now versus 3 weeks ago, is that the Bucs are getting better, the Patriots are getting worse, and we're now almost halfway through the schedule.
It doesn't look good for the Belichickites, for sure.
So that to me is sort of the difference. But look at it and say Tampa faced some adversity and responded. Regardless of who they played, they've responded. They've played better. They've had four penalties in the last two games combined.
If the Patriots win the division with this collection of crap on their roster, doesn't it prove the point about the coaching?
Yes, sure.
I mean,
yeah, I grant you that.
I mean, it'll prove two things. Belichick is really still sucking as a GM, but he can coach his way out of a lot of messes.
Yes. And look, Greg, I'm not telling you this thing's over either. I'm not ready to all of a sudden, you know, call the fight. I'm not ready to do that. You know, I'm not ready to stop it. But right now, oh, it's a runaway. I mean, this past week turned it into a runaway.
I'm just irritated in general this year. Maybe it must be because of COVID and we're all cooped up and we want to react to things. But the complete, you know, up and down this year with reaction. Every week people are reacting and crowning teams when we don't know anything like this. Every other year we knew, all right, the first four games don't really mean anything. Now, with no offseason, really it's about the first eight games. We don't mean anything. I mean, look, how many people were crowning the Bills and Josh Allen after 4 weeks? And now 2 weeks later, he's a bum. No, it's not either or. Like, people just need to relax a little bit and stop. Look, I'm fine with reacting to things, but like all of a sudden saying like this team's great and the Bucks are awesome and all their ills are cured because they played the Packers and the Raiders. I'm sorry. Nah, I'm not buying it.
Okay. But we still do have a show. We do have a show to do.
So I don't want to relax.
Play the end.
No, I mean, I'm okay overreacting on a daily basis. But it was just 2 weeks ago where the whole thing was flipped. And talk about, you know, instant analysis. We're going to go back and play some sound from what people were saying about the Patriots and Cam Newton after that Seahawks loss.
Oh, goody.
And, you know, we'll see how that's turned on its ear. Pretty unbelievable when you think about it. But that's later on in the program. Here's Derek in Foxborough. Hi, Derek.
Yeah, but Don made a comment that McDaniels is doing everything he can to coach up Cam Newton, but I don't think he is. I mean, remember, when he was the offensive coordinator of the Rams, they had the worst-ranked offense in the league. So there's a history of his offenses sucking without Brady. And, you know, everyone knows Cam's not a pocket passer, so where are the RPOs? Where are the bootlegs? All the stuff Baltimore does for Lamar Jackson, like, they're not doing any of that.
Okay, Derek, thanks for the call. Greg, how much on Josh McDaniels?
I mean, I don't think much yet. I mean, look, I thought he was doing, you know, a really good job there for a while. And then suddenly, you know, He didn't have a starting quarterback for 3 weeks, and things have changed. You know, the Rams, he was there for what, 1 year? I mean, you know, what's he supposed to do? I don't even know who the quarterback was then.
Sam Bradford.
Bring up the Rams. I mean, it's ridiculous. And to talk about, you know, we heard this also before, including from some of you guys who were like, oh, well, they're gonna do what the Ravens did, and they're gonna do the Cam's a different quarterback. Cam is not a run the ball all the time. Look, their running plan was great against the 49ers. Yeah, I heard from some people who were like, oh, well, why don't they do more read option and things like that? Well, first of all, they did some of it and it didn't work. What did work was the delayed inside runs where they got the offensive linemen out on the linebackers, and it was successful. And things, trust me, things are schemed up for Cam to be successful. He's just not executing. It's as simple as that. There's only so much an offensive coordinator can do, a quarterback's coach, Jed Fish, can do. And right now, Cam is not doing his part. That's where this ends. Stop looking for people to blame and blame Cam. He has not played well in his last three starts. Period. End of discussion.
Yeah, Craig, I still don't think that the offense has been user-friendly, entirely user-friendly for him the last couple of games. And look, I'm putting the onus on Newton.
User-friendly? Mass, he's missing wide open players that are there that he has instructed. When you get back there on your back leg, throw the freaking ball. And he's not doing it. What is Josh supposed to do?
I just don't think he can run anything even remotely close to what was their old offense. And I say their old offense, their Brady offense. I think you really have to run it like they did in week one against Miami. And I know he carried 15 times that week and he'll never last the season. But you know what? Who cares? Because if he plays like this, he's not going to last the season anyway.
Murray, give us a quick update. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we pick this back up on the other side. Again, no spots here.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation.org to get involved.